my generation.
Time may change me. Remember the time.
Do you remember the first time
when you were young?
There's times like these, time, time again.
Hello, I'm Mug McIntyre and welcome to Times Like These. The quiz where no one respects their elders, the young mind isn't so inquiring, and much like Catherine Zeta-Jones's motto in life, age doesn't matter. But the question is, which of these decades will natural selection select as Earth's dominant species? On my left today, representing a generation who travel the world in the search for knowledge and to find there's no place like home, only to sponge off their own parents. A generation that won't as yet understand what I'm saying until they've got my updates via MySpace, Twitter, and Facebook, and then to incessantly poke me afterwards. From the 80s and 90s, Sophie Petzl and Tom Eames. And on my right, from the 60s and 70s, a time that saw rising divorce rates and a faltering economy. It's lucky that times have moved on since then, into a time where we have rising divorce rates and a faltering economy. They were subject to 3 days of peace and love at Woodstock, only to now struggle with making love last just over 3 minutes. With clowns to the left of them, jokers to the right, here they are, Matthew Priest and Christopher Brooke. And now we head into our first round.
Growing pains.
Growing Pains takes us right back to our team's childhood, to a time where innocence ruled, a well-preserved conker would make you king of the playground, and Jodie Marsh didn't have a nose like a tiny little shoe. We take to the street to ask the public to describe either a toy or a cartoon character from the team's childhood decades. If the teams guess it correctly on just one clue, they get 3 points, to just 1 point if they need all clues available. Matthew, we'll start with you. Your cartoon conundrum is...
He has a red suit on.
In fact, he was pretty rubbish.
Kind of wearing a dressing gowny type thing.
There we go.
Is that it?
The most eloquent in Bournemouth.
Any ideas?
Is it Hong Kong Phooey?
Is that going to be your first answer?
Sounds about right. I don't know if it's sort of killing the comedy to get it in the first round, but...
No.
You might be wrong.
The comedy was killed when they had you on the panel.
The day the last died. Well, I'll go with you, Matt.
Hong Kong Phooey.
Is that your first guess? I'll lead you into clue number two.
I recognise this one. It's an animal of some description. I'm not entirely sure what. I don't know.
Don't know whether it might be a bit of a, you know... Loose cannon type thing, maverick cop.
He's got big floppy ears. He looks a bit like a spaniel of some kind.
I'm nowhere.
Well, the floppy ears. It was the detective thing, or a bit of a crap policeman. They said there, didn't they?
So you can stick with Hong Kong Phooey, or you can change.
He's the only one I can think of. Hong Kong Phooey.
Well, let's get your final clue.
His day job was a janitor.
It's a dog doing karate.
I remember he had a phrase that he used to use when people were trying to identify him and nearly got his name right, and he'd say, could be.
That's made it worse, in a way. Hong Kong Phooey,
Hong Kong
my final answer.
Let's have a look.
Who is this superhero? Henry, the mild-mannered janitor?
Could be. Hong Kong Phooey, number one super guy.
Yes, Hong Kong Phooey there, number one super guy and clumsy expert of the martial arts. Late in 2009, Warner Brothers announced that there would be a new Hong Kong Phooey movie. There we go, another example of the movie industry dusting off an old faded martial arts expert that's no longer animated. If you listen just carefully in distance, you can just hear Steven Seagal drop his hamburger to get on the phone to his agent. Tom, your toy teaser clues are...
Grossly inappropriate toy...
They've got big eyes and little arms that stick out.
Multicoloured little friends from your childhood.
Oh, those evil little
Anton Deck.
Could be both.
I was hanging with My Little Pony, but then I thought not with the whole...
Sorry, what are you doing with a My Little Pony that makes it grossly inappropriate?
Yeah.
This one time at band camp.
This one time at band camp with My Little Pony.
I think I know. Trolls.
Okay, is that your first answer?
Yeah.
Oh. Were they inappropriate?
Well, they looked a bit.
Looked a little bit.
I don't know.
Just, raising your hand like a purse.
My sister collected all of them, and I remember her room just being a terrifying experience. Open up the cupboard and just see hundreds of thousands of trolls looking at you.
Why were you often in your sister's room?
Oh, that's not... that's another story for another time, all right?
The boys had trolls on the end of their pens. I didn't... Well, maybe that was always inappropriate.
I know this is the idea of this quiz. Don't know if I can say that. Different generations, but I genuinely have no idea what you're talking about.
Let's have a listen to clue number two.
Okay. They all had different hair colours.
Very funny-looking little things. Big noses, huge eyes.
Somebody used to have little gems in their bellies.
It's either them or Cabbage Patch dolls. I reckon I'm still going with trolls.
Sticking with trolls? Yeah.
Or a hen party in Magaluf.
Giggity, giggity.
And your final clue.
They have multicoloured hair and they're really short and they're naked.
That's sort of spiky, you know, that crazy spiky hair. My mum used to make little suits for them.
And you can get them in all different colours and you can get them in different sizes and get them to stick on top of your pencil.
I'm predominantly concerned by the guy whose mum used to make little suits for them. I just think that, like, if you're disapproving of the wholly inappropriate nakedness of the troll,
perhaps
might as well buy him a troll.
Perhaps she had another little child that was actually that big. So yeah. She had the hand-me-downs.
Yeah.
So, is your final answer?
Yep, trolls.
And the toy in question was...
When you wish on a treasure troll, who knows what might happen? Treasure trolls, with a jewel you can wish on.
Yes, we have there. Answer was pen-topping, wish-making, neon-haired trolls. Trolls were originally known as leprechauns, as over the years they come in many varieties. Pen trolls, treasure trolls, Barbie trolls and battle trolls, each one with their trademark spiky hair. And in latest news, to relaunch the brand to a modern audience, toy manufacturers have created a new range of musical spiky-haired trolls that equally have no use and appear everywhere. They're calling them Jedward. Christopher, a toy for you also.
Sort of things in a ring. It's sort of back and forth. You know, you press the buttons really hard.
I have absolutely no idea what they are. They don't look very entertaining, though.
I think one of them had a longer neck than the other one.
Crumbs.
You had any experience with anything dull, anything with long necks, anything in a ring?
I'm stumped. I'd like to invite the second clue immediately.
Not really much idea.
No. Not at the moment.
Okay, clue number two.
One's red, one's blue.
Two bits of plastic hitting one another.
Okay, I remember these. And the idea was that you had to shoot one's head off in a yellow ring.
dread to think. Where do you want to go with that now?
Well, I can't think of the name of it. I can picture it in my mind. I feel slightly like I might have missed out in my childhood. I'll have to complain to my parents that I didn't actually own one of these.
If you can describe it, I'll take as good as that.
Well, it's sort of a couple of things with long necks in a ring. And you press the button and then they punch each other.
Clue number three.
They fight. They're in Toy Story 2 at one point.
To win, you have to knock the other one's head off.
It's two robots fighting in a boxing ring.
Ah. Phytobox or Roboxers? Maybe.
Roboxics.
Yeah.
It's like a really
name.
Aggressive version of a hit.
Like that,
if it isn't it, this sounds like it should be it. Is it? Can I?
You can try.
Something like Rocket and Socket. Is it like that?
Let's have a listen.
It's just part of the action with the world's only boxing robots, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots by Marks. Lots of exciting action and fun for everyone when the world's only boxing robots battle it out. Just push the flying head back and you're ready for round three.
Yes, handheld boxing toy, the Rock'em Sock'em Robots, where the primary aim is to beat the living daylights out of the opponent. The toy has been criticised, however, for being sexist, with both boxing robots appearing to be male. A newer, more politically correct version is now featuring a male and female contender and has been called Rihanna and Chris Brown. Sophie, your animated mystery clues.
And then there was some kind of animal thing. Some kind of doggy, beary, squirrel.
Dressed in lots of different patterned clothing. There's one that is big and orange.
This is like a bad Super Ted, because somehow they came to life. It wouldn't happen in the real world.
I love that fun killer.
Can't even take the mick because I'm so stumped.
Yeah, not so clever now.
Yeah.
Fetch Armstrong?
Way too busy, you know, reading my encyclopedia and... playing with my first science kit to be playing with inanimate objects other than My Little Pony and trolls.
Long-winded way of saying you don't know.
I have no idea. Orange is squirrel. Flanimals?
Here's another clue.
basically, it's about rejects.
I remember the one of the characters' names, Sad Sack. Just an appalling looking one.
Dolls in wonderfully patterned clothes that all kind of looked a bit like dolls.
Cabbage Patch Dolls, then. We'll go with that.
Well, I've no idea what they are, but Tom mentioned them earlier.
Yeah, that was 80s.
Cabbage Patch Dolls? Yeah. It's clue number three.
There's these little people, they're rejects, and they come from a factory. One of them's like a ballerina, one of them is quite bossy, and she thinks she's a bit of a princess.
I remember their theme song being, having the line, dolls like you and me in it.
Toy box, that's all I can remember. They all came out of a toy box, and they were all, toys who had issues. So yeah, one had his head on backwards.
This is a girly toy. No,
there
it?
Was, yeah, because one of my
friends. I don't need to know this.
Telling me about this, there was like a TV show, yeah, this is going to sound really dumb because I'm basically just going to recite what they just said. Where they were like.
Worked for them. Worked for them.
Rejected toys in a toy box and they were really odd looking.
I actually. This was from my youth. I remember. I do remember this. Sad Sack. Head the wrong way around.
Sad Sack. I love that name.
Sadly for me, my youth is such a long time ago that I don't remember what it's called.
Well, I'll put you out of your misery. The answer was...
It's not much of a life when you're just a pretty face.
Just to be whoever you are is no disgrace. Don't be scared if you don't fit in. Look who's in the reject bin. It's the Raggedy Dolls. I'm happy just to be. Raggy Dolls, like you and me.
The Raggy Dolls there, cartoon team of misshapen and misstitched dolls, proud of how they've turned out. Coincidentally, the two lines from their theme tune, Don't Be Scared If You Don't Fit In, and Look Who's in the Reject Bin, are the same two lines that Mark Thompson has just put in his post-consultation letter to inform Six Music of their fate. And at the end of Growing Pains...
Tom and Sophie have four, whilst Matthew and Christopher have five.
Because that's how we roll, and that's how we roll.
Celebrity Landfill.
In the next round, Celebrity Landfill takes a look at those we deem to be appropriate role models in society, the celebrity. I'll present the teams with two well-known faces from their decades and two accompanying facts. Their job is to match the appropriate person with appropriate fact. Tom and Sophie, mm-hmm. Start with you. Your dysfunctional duo are...
I needed money cause I had none. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won. I left my baby and it feels so bad. I guess my race is run.
Can you imagine one of those kids coming at you with a knife? I like the little fat one with the ginger hair. God doesn't make you perfect, he makes you talented. You see, the fat ones always have the best voices. Yeah.
There we go. Community service practiced, Boy George, and the grating tones of Irish Lothario, Colin Farrell. But which of these said Marilyn Monroe was the first they fell in love with, and who got sacked from an early job because of an inappropriate conduct with a carrier bag?
Boy George was in, was actually in pool this morning.
Was he?
He was. He was DJing.
Because he'd heard that he could rent boys from the harbour.
there was me just thinking that a nice fact. Right, okay. Carrier bag. Well, I didn't think Colin would be around, would he? When Marilyn was big.
Doesn't mean he mightn't have just got out one of his mum's old videos and had a nice watch and thought, oh, I like that. I don't know. Didn't every little boy at some point have a crush on Marilyn Monroe, regardless of their generation? I don't know. I'm not really speaking from experience.
Yeah,
so
crush on Marilyn Monroe?
Oh, yeah.
Chris?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say. I was more of a Barbara Streisand boy.
Yeah, carrier bag. He
the person in question did something with a carrier bag on a day at work and got sacked for it, or multiple carrier bags.
Inappropriate. So he wasn't just being, you know, really helpful, packing, you know, for the customers as they went off, and they just totally misinterpreted
something
it.
you wouldn't expect with a carrier bag.
Now is this stigma.
Is it too rude?
No.
So it's not what I'm thinking.
Then. What you're thinking?
Who knows what you were thinking?
Who's more likely to defile a carrier bag out of Mr. Colin Farrell and...
I don't know, they're both pretty...
Boy George.
I'm going for Boy George and Marilyn Monroe. I know it's a bit controversial.
I was going to say the opposite.
Yeah, push you for an answer.
Yeah.
Go with
is
you.
Is that right?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, Boy George of Monroe, Farrell with the carrier bag.
Well, to pay out your misery, the answer was Colin Farrell was smitten with Monroe. Whilst Boy George was sacked from his supermarket job after deciding to turn up to work one day entirely dressed in an outfit fashioned from plastic bags.
That's not inappropriate. That's a statement. That's amazing. If you turned up to work dressed in a carrier bag, I think you'd be doing a lot of, you know, customer service a bit of a favour.
Unless they were clear.
So we got that wrong.
Unfortunately so. In 2009, though, Boy George went to prison for the assault and false imprisonment of Alden Carson. During his time in prison, he was able to reflect on how some of his lyrics were taken too seriously by the public, such as, "Do you really want to hurt me?" Now, the public just waits in hope for the lyrics of Karma Chameleon to sink in. You come and go, you... No, Boy George, please just go. Please just go. Colin Farrell used to leave chocolates under his pillow for Marilyn Monroe with a note saying, "I know you're dead, but these are very tasty and you should have a few. I won't tell anyone." In 2006, however, Farrell took legal action to try and stop the distribution of a tape of questionable content with his former Playboy model girlfriend, Nicole Narain, the result of which meant an explosion of public interest of people wanting to see it on the internet. Just a tip, Colin. Next time you try and do that with Miami Vice, someone might actually want to watch it. Matthew and Christopher, a tuneful two celebs for you.
My wife has always had a proud, upstanding nipple. Makes an old man very happy.
Is it true that when you were a kid, you were shot at for stealing apples?
Yes.
Is that what these beautiful marks are?
No, they're scabs.
The scabs. Let's have a look. Show them your scabs.
Let me see your scabs.
There we go. John Lennon comparing scabs with Dusty Springfield and Penny Lancaster's short upstanding nipple, or Rod Stewart, he's his better name. But which of these two male singers had a brief experience in grave digging, and which of these has been registered as disabled?
Oh, I actually know that.
You do? I think I know that as well, yeah. Rod Stewart is from, well, he's not from my neck of the woods, but he lives near my manor.
Right, you live in Los Angeles?
No, well, he lives out in Epping.
Well, he's got a place there, I think.
Yeah. He can be seen down the football field every now and then.
Any experience of Rod Stewart?
I saw him in George Lane in his Ferrari. It might not have been him, he was coming out of Pizza Hut, but I think it was
him. Quite a few blokes in Epping that look like Rod Stewart, though. Yeah.
That's
that was
right.
A fantastic anecdote.
Thanks.
So,
I know that actually Rod Stewart was indeed a gravedigger before, well, whilst he was knocking about in bands in the 60s, he did that as well. So I'd say Rod Stewart, gravedigger.
The answer was, indeed, that Rod Stewart had an early career as a gravedigger. So nice to see the elders passing down the trade to the youngsters and then marrying them. John Lennon was officially registered as disabled as his eyesight got so poor he was legally blind without his glasses. Well, that explains Yoko.
Good topical comedy here.
And not being able to dodge the bullet.
Oh, that's a bit.
Was it?
Just a
toe.
Too early? Too early?
Too early.
Michael Jackson gone. Anyways, after that round, the scores are...
Tom and Sophie have 4. However, Matthew and Christopher have 7.
Safety first.
As human beings, we'd all fail to operate properly unless we had someone to tell the pitfall of every single thing we come in contact to. And now more so than ever, with peanuts being told that they contain nuts and coffee is apparently hot, unless you travel by Ryanair, where both of these are optional extras for 20 quid. In this round, we look at public service announcements of the years gone by. Each panellist will be presented with some wise words of advice, and it's up to them to decide what they should have learnt from it. Matthew, we'll start with you.
Is for everybody, not just for the few.
So, what is for everyone and not just for a few? Is it public transport, VD, influenza, or the Conservatives?
Actually, shame you picked those four, because I was going to say cannabis, but it's not on there, unfortunately. Public transport, obviously, because Conservatives aren't for everyone, are they? VD, again, not for everyone. Public transport.
Let's have a listen.
VD is for everybody, not just for the few.
If you're curious or confused, get information or a pamphlet at most pharmacies or a health clinic.
No, I see, but after that, I'm both curious and confused, and there's no amount of leaflets that's going to sort that out.
I'm glad I turned up today now. That is
how is VD for everyone in such a jolly way? How can it be?
It is for everyone. You've been missing
okay,
out.
Well, I should try it then.
I know a few people who can help. A public service advert there, warning of the spread of VD. Sexually transmitted infection is taken no less seriously in current times, with increased attention given to chlamydia, gonorrhea and herpes, and that's just a new announced lineup of sugar babes. Tom, some heroes for you.
She-Ra and I want to talk to you about something that's very personal.
So, He-Man and She-Ra there, but what personal matter do they want to educate you on? Is it respecting your parents, puberty, inappropriate touching, or learning how to happy slap effectively?
If a brother and a sister double act are giving instructional videos on why not to touch each other inappropriately, I'm not wholly convinced that they are the right to be doing
that. Are they brother and sister?
Yeah, aren't they? I thought they were. For some reason, I was Googling them the other day because I used to love She-Ra. And apparently she's is he He-Man? Yeah, is that what you said?
I think there's some relation, cousins or brothers and sisters.
It's a bit odd, though.
Cousins is kind of all right.
Well, they know about happy slapping.
sorry, just go back. Cousins are all right.
Apparently, legally.
You must remember He-Man.
Yeah, well, I was saying, I think they'd know about happy slapping, they'd be good at it, but it's about, well, what are they more likely to be talking to kids about? What do they want to know about?
By the looks of her, I don't think puberty ever touched her.
Just sailed through it.
She just flew through it. His voice never broke.
Okay, so it's 50-50 again, which we're not very good at.
No.
Interestingly, He-Man was the first toy, I believe. No, the first cartoon, rather, where they conceived the toy before the cartoon. It was a symbiotic commercial relationship.
Oh.
For the first time it happened that way.
A little factoid for you there.
And he was also the first male toy with no penis.
Yeah.
I'll let you answer this one, because I was wrong with the 50-50 last time.
Oh, God. Wait.
Yeah, four answers were respecting your parents, puberty, inappropriate touching, or learning how to happy slap effectively.
I think you should always respect your parents' puberty.
Well, most parents these days seem to be hitting puberty by the time they are parents. So. I think inappropriate touching simply because I think that would be pretty funny. And I'll be Googling any advert. It reminds me of that Captain Planet thing. You know, he's trying to help cure the world of AIDS and bringing awareness to the situation in Belfast, where obviously they lacked voice talent so blatantly that they needed to just colour in everyone in green. They're Irish, they're wearing green. Oh.
So are we really going for inappropriate touching?
Yeah.
After the show, guys.
If you're
nothing
behind,
to take from that.
If you're behind, you know, like we're in the lead, you're behind.
Yeah.
Try to catch up.
I think we need some points.
So. Okay. Not to lay on the pressure.
I think one of the top two. But what if we're wrong? Well, everyone loves VD, so we might be wrong.
Go on, one of the...
One of the top two?
Yeah, go. Okay. Three, two, one.
Puberty.
Well, to put you out of your misery, the message from Grayskull was...
She-Ra and I want to talk to you about something that's very personal. Your body.
Remember, it's your body and no one should touch you in a way that you feel is wrong.
Get anybody who tries it.
It's not that easy, Orko. It's hard for a young person to admit that he or she has been touched in a bad way.
If you've been touched that way, don't be ashamed. Tell someone you trust, like your parents, your doctor, your teacher, or counselor, or your minister or rabbi.
They fell for a little plan.
I feel, you know, this is why our generation is at war with itself.
How possibly?
This is why we're all on Facebook. We can't be bothered to talk to each other anymore because we all talk bull. I'm devastated. I mean, there were infomercials like, in the 50s, like anti-homosexual, you know, there were really, really odd stuff going on. So for me, it was by no
what was
great
the
leap of the imagination.
Were they doing stuff?
Yes, believe it or not, education on being touched there and talking to your minister, apparently. I would make a cheap joke of the clergy at this point, but in light of recent scandals, the Pope has taken measures to deal with this already by recalling all church leaders for group motivational retraining, taking them to South Africa in timing for the World Cup. The keynote speech at the ceremony will be delivered by Argentinian football coach Diego Maradona on the subject of how to do your job without having to use your hands. Christopher, for you, a message of grave concern.
Hello there, I'm George Putnam. I'd like to begin with a fact. A simple yet shocking fact. A flood tide of filth and decay caused 16 of the 19 major civilizations to vanish from the earth.
So, what caused 16 of the 19 major civilizations to vanish from the earth? Was it pornographic magazines? Cannabis? excessive drinking or Peter Andre's new chat show?
Well, I mean, he's certainly responsible for a serious cultural decline. Peter Andre, that is, of course.
Do you watch him often, listen to his music?
I was in the gym yesterday morning and saw him doing his chat show. I didn't realise he had one.
What kind of gym are you at where they actually pump Peter Andre into the...
A special one. Now, the pornography, I can't imagine what's wrong with that. Doesn't degrade the mind or the eyesight. My eyes are as good as the day they were born. Cannabis, nothing wrong with cannabis. And so I think it's drinking. I think drinking has led to the decline of civilizations. You only need to see Colchester High Street on a Friday or Saturday night. I'm going for booze.
And the answer was...
A flood tide of filth is engulfing our country in the form of newsstand obscenity. We know that once a person is perverted, it is practically impossible for that person to adjust to normal attitudes. Through this material, today's youth can be stimulated to sexual activity for which he has no legitimate outlet. He is even enticed to enter the world of homosexuals, lesbians, sadists, masochists, and other sex deviants. They tell youngsters that it's smart, it's thrilling, it provides kicks to be a homosexual and every other kind of deviant. And it is important to realize that even if you knew that your own children would never, under any conditions, buy or read this material, if you knew this, and you can't know this, you must realize that they are constantly exposed to those who do read this material and who might be triggered into compulsive acts of sex violence. Magnificent Egypt, classical Greece, imperial Rome, all crumbled away, not because of the strength of the aggressor, but because of moral decay from within.
You know he's just going to go home and get into his stash when he gets home.
I'd like to know which civilizations crumbled because of porn.
The dinosaurs.
It was a meteor of porn that came down, wasn't it? Yeah.
Except the T-Rex, the arm's too small to take. Yes, the Egyptians and Romans there falling foul of the likes of Razzle and Playboy driving an uncontrollable level of sex violence. Apparently, according to the public service announcement, it provides kicks to be a homosexual. Perhaps ask David Laws about that. The only kick he got was out of cabinet. However, I don't really see what was wrong. I regularly pay for a regular partner.
I'll get you a troll.
So. He's had a few.
Oh, he laughs so true. Sophie, and the final clip with you were these two familiar characters.
Nacho, where are you?
C-3PO and R2-D2 there, but what are they warning against? Wasting water? Smoking? Throwing away recyclables? Or sharing a plane with Jabba the Hutt?
It sounded like I had water at the beginning of it, so...
Yeah, but considering how much Anthony Daniels was meant to have hated Kenny Baker, I think he would have found it really funny if he'd just taken the little helmet off when he was in, like, R2-D2 and just filled up with water just to watch him drown inside the droid.
And so that then
when they were pushing him around, he was just drowning inside. I like the idea of the recycling for some reason.
It could be any of them.
Yeah, it could. Yes, it could be any of them.
So
that's a part of the quiz where you have four options.
We're getting there now. That's an improvement
four.
On last time.
Right, okay.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to be water, isn't it? It's going to be water.
I think it's water, and I'm not having any more changing of minds from you two.
You don't like the cut of my jib at the moment, by the
look of it. So recycling.
We don't handle authority very well. We're sort of the new generation. We sit there and go...
That's how we roll, yeah?
Whatever. But we're also rubbish at comebacks. So we'll just sit there and
rubbish at quizzes, so... Let's hear the answer.
Come on.
So we're going to go with recycling as your final. And the words of advice from our metallic friends are...
Archie, you're on fire! R2-D2, you found a cigarette. Well, I don't think smoking is grown up at all. Smoking does dreadful things to your lungs and is very bad for your heart. Well, I know I don't have one, but humans do, and I think we should set a good example. Please, don't smoke. R2, do you really think I don't have a heart?
advising about the dangers of smoking there and possibly also confirming some rumours about C-3PO's and R2-D2's close relationship. Possibly why R2-D2 is only waist high. A partnership made up there from one who is servantile to the other and doesn't speak much, with the other taking all the attention, his posh and incredibly shiny. For some reason, why does the thought of Condem come to mind? See, that gets me, does that make William Hague an Ewok then? And as we all feel a little safer in our lives now, the scores are...
Tom and Sophie still have 4, and Matthew and Christopher still have 7.
As we draw to a close, we force our panellists to put down their touchscreen phones and etch sketches as they head into the final duel. We looked to the public and resorted to the time-honoured tradition of marketing and the never-failing method of focus groups, cold calling and street market research to come up with a round name like no other to best describe this.
Final round?
In this round, over a limited time, I'll pose various celebrities, characters and famous events from the 60s through to the 90s. It's our team's job to volley these back by identifying the generation they are most renowned for. For example, if I was to say Boris Johnson being elected as Mayor of London, you would say, with a sign of despair...
The Noughties.
The time where the Conservatives took over your life.
Matthew and Christopher, your final round starts now. Yeah. The mullet.
Oh.
80s. 80s,
yeah.
The birth of hippies.
60s.
The birth of yuppies.
80s.
The birth of Katie Price's puppies.
Oh, the puppies.
Well, that would be the 90s.
Monica Lewinsky.
Oh.
90s.
The avocado bathroom.
Ooh. Oh, my family had an avocado bathroom.
Oh. 70s.
No, it's not 60s, 70s. So.
No, there was never a good time for the avocado.
Oh.
The Raleigh Chopper.
Yes, Chopper, 70s.
A 3-day week.
70s.
So after that round, 11 points.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I like that. Can we do that again?
Tom and Sophie, your time travelling teasers. The Rubik's Cube.
80s.
England winning the World Cup.
60s.
The VHS.
80s.
Yeah, 80s.
No, 70s.
Really?
The computer game Pong.
I want to say 80s. 70s.
It was the 70s. The first remake of King Kong.
First remake? Well, it's not the one I'm thinking, so 70s.
John Major and Edwina Curry just being plain wrong.
90s.
The Tamagotchi.
90s.
The Mini Metro.
Huh?
I think it's a car, not a transport
system. I think it's
a car.
I'm used to
that. I thought it might be like the Manchester Tube thing.
80s.
60s. The mini skirt.
60s.
Flares.
70s.
70s.
Dolly the sheep.
80s.
No, it was a 90s.
We are pretty useless for things that we actually knew and making us feel inadequate. Yeah. And our generation is inadequate generally.
Yeah. Counselling at all? You can have counselling with the same people from the Do and the Clues earlier.
Especially the one whose mother knitted his trolls. Minute clothing.
And also they were his multicoloured little friends.
Multicoloured little friends.
And after that round, 10 points.
Look at these disparaging senior members of society looking down on us as always just because you don't know how to use Twitter.
The thing is, the people of your generation, you were brought up being told that actually, you know, it's not the winning that counts, it's the taking part. You know, you're not meant to feel bad about losing, whereas people from, you know, our generation, we actually want to win stuff and do well.
Back in the day where the parents ate saying. The weakest children, so...
I didn't want to get into this.
And at the end of the contest, we have our tragic temporal anomalies, Tom and Sophie with 18 points, but our decade dominators and this week's winners with 23 points are Matthew and Chris. So, my thanks to Sophie Petzl, Tom Eames, Matthew Priest and Christopher Brooke. Where today we've learnt that misshapen dolls are just as valuable as singing spiky-haired gimps. A misdirected love for someone dead in your youth causes you to rampantly end up with your carnal acts all over the internet. But before we go, I've just got someone talking to my ear at the moment. By the wonders of modern technology, we already have the first review of this quiz and recorded opinion of what people thought of our panellists.
A flood tide of deviance, filth, rot and decay.
Oh dear, good night.
Times Like These was created and chaired by Mog McIntyre. Taking part were Sophie Petzl, Tom Eames, Christopher Brook, and Matthew Priest. Additional material was provided by Dougal Patmore with production assistance from Emma Holton and Matt Harrison. The writer and producer was Mog McIntyre.